Welcome to the Webster Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is demystifying event processing in CICS. My name is Kathy Kuhn, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Move on to slide 2. In today's session, we will start off by introducing the panel of experts. We will then move to give you a brief introduction to demystifying events processing in CICS. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were provided previously, followed by a short demo. After that, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then we will open the lines for a live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. On to slide 3. At this time, I would like to pass control over to Chris Carlin to introduce our panel of experts. Chris,
Thank you, Kathy. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining the call today. My name is Chris Carlin. I'm a staff software engineer. I work KIX Level 2 support in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. We also have on the call today Chen Fang Wang, who is a KIX Transaction Server Level 3 support person. Kathleen Moxie is with us today. She's an STSM architect for the KIX event processing, performance, and optimization. And Andy Walmby is a developer for KIX event processing and policy support.
Our panel would like to give you a brief technical overview and a short demo. We are on to slide 4, and Chris, you are ready.
Yes, for the introduction, today we'll be covering a number of questions to help demystify event processing within KIX Transaction Server. We'll be talking about application changes, event capture points, consumers of events, ways events are used, some common problems. We will have a short demonstration followed by a question and answer session for everyone. Slide 5, please. Okay, continuing on. An event is something that happens that is significant to a system. Events include the following examples. Open a bank account. Sense a temperature change, click a mouse button, detect loss of connectivity to a database, browse an inventory without making a purchase, an unusual history of purchases on a credit card, and increasing frequency of application failures. Event is the term that is used to describe an electronic message that indicates a change in the state of some aspect of a system. An event has a name and usually some data, sometimes referred to as the payload, event payload. Some events can be detected by KIX alone, and some require a complex event processing engine, such as IBM Operation Decision Manager, which integrates business events with business rules to enable decision-making in real time. Slide 6, please. Okay, today's first question is, do I need to change my KIX application to get events from them? Slide 7, please. Application events are non-invasive, meaning that events can be captured from a KIX application without the need to change or recompile the application, and with minimal, if any, overhead in the performance of the application. Event processing addresses the need for agility. Modern businesses must react quickly to circumstances. Decision makers need reliable, timely information. big systems run an enormous amount of existing business logic, and using an event-based approach, there is potential to gain insight into the processing and kicks, and to introduce additional extensions to application in a dynamic, decoupled fashion. Slide 8, please. At this time, I will turn the presentation over to Chenfang Wang to go on with question number 2.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, then the second question is, where can events be captured in KIC? So usually we call this as capture point. In general, there are three kinds of capture points where we can capture events from KIC. They are application events, system events, and policy event actions. So now let's go to next page. Page 9, please. The first one, let's talk about application events. Application events are those we can capture from application program activity, and they can contain application data. To speak further, we can capture application events at KIC API and program initiation phase. For KIC API, currently KIC supports application events captured from a subset of existing EXEC KIC API commands. For example, link program. And to capture this kind of application events, we don't need to make any change to existing applications. So if the data users want to capture are not available at existing EXEC KIC API command, they can also add a new event, API signal event, in application to provide the data for events. So besides KIC APIs, we can also capture events at program initiation phase. For example, we can specify when proc A initiates, capture an event. So next page, please. Now let's talk about system events. System events are those we capture from system activity and contain system data. To some extent, they reflect system status and are more meaningful to system admin or anyone who cares about certain system activities. So KIC event processing supports event captured when resource state change, including DB2 connection status, file enable or disable status, file open or close status. So no matter the state change is caused by explicit operator actions, for example, EXEC KIC set commands, or implicitly as a result of KIC's internal processing. Another kind of system event is KIC's message event. That is, you can capture an event whenever KIC emits a DFH message or CPSM emits an EYU message. So this one is available in KIC 5.1. Then next page, please. Next page, we'll talk more about system events. The next one is threshold being crossed. You can filter on a threshold to indicate how close the system is to max task, or on a threshold to indicate how close the chain class is to its max active value. For example, you can specify when active task number goes higher than 90% max task, then capture a system event. The filter on threshold supports both max task and chain class max active value. The next kind of system events is about unhandled transaction events. You can capture an event whenever a transaction encounters any unhandled event. But besides application events and system events, KIC version 5.1 adds another kind of events, events captured for policy actions. So let's turn to next page, please. CIS 5.1 introduced cloud enablement spot and policy is one of the cloud spot new features. Use predefined policies. Users can control the behavior of applications and platforms during runtime. With policy, event can be captured when tasks that are running exceed defined thresholds for resource usage. For example, the number of EXEC SQL requests, the number of EXEC CIS file access requests, the amount of CPU time that is consumed by a task, and etc. Users can choose when the policy threshold is exceeded, emit an event. The event has the same behavior as CIS system events, and the information that is captured in the event is predetermined and cannot be customized. In CIS 5.2, more policy thresholds are introduced, such as the elapsed time that is taken by a task, the number of EXEC CIS read queue or write queue TS requests for TS queues, the amount of data that is written to TS queues by EXEC CIS write queue TS requests. So in summary, users can capture application events, system events, and policy threshold events. Okay, next page, please. So for question three, I will pass the presentation to Catherine.
Many thanks, Irene. Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Moxey. So Irene talked about how you can capture events and have them emitted from CIS. And this question is asking where events can be sent. Another way of perhaps putting that is, you know, what are the things that can consume those events that CIS emits? So if we move to slide 14, please. So on this slide, I've listed things that you can do to consume events just within CIS, so without having any additional products. And the first and simplest thing you can do, and I'd actually probably encourage anyone who hasn't tried this yet to just have a go at creating an event specification and sending those events to a temporary storage queue, because that can allow you to see the situations in which events are captured using the capture points that Irene explained, and you can look at the formatting. You could use that temporary storage queue to consume the events in an application, but you need to bear in mind that temporary storage queues can fill up. You can't remove the messages from the queue one at a time. So we mainly have the temporary storage queue capability as a way of experimenting and testing with events. Another thing you can do is extend an application, and because events are non-invasive, you can do that without changing the actual application itself. Have the application emit events when certain things happen, and then you can choose to have a CIS transaction started when the events occur. You pass the event data to the transaction, and it can carry out additional processing. And that can be either within the same CIS region where the application that emits the event is running, or another region. Another thing you can do is actually send email from an event captured in CIS. We've got a support pack, CA1Y, that provides the ability to send emails and attachments out from CIS events. And in fact, you can do anything that you want to do if you make use of our custom event processing interface, because you can write a custom EP adapter, as we call it, that can format and send the events in any way that you choose. And we provide a sample that comes with CIS, and there are further samples provided in our support packs. The little screenshot I've included is from our event binding editor tooling that's part of the CIS Explorer and also part of Rational Developer for System Z. And that's actually showing an event processing adapter set, which has within it a couple of event processing adapters that are going to send events both to a temporary storage queue, so that was my first example, and to start a transaction, so that was my second example. If we move to slide 15, then this is looking at the things you can do if you sort of add other products into the mix. So the main box in this picture is really CIS and showing the event processing capturing events for application events, system events, threshold policy events, and those events can be emitted. So to send events out from PICS, you can use transport such as HTTP, or if you want a more robust, reliable transport using WebCRM2. And then additionally, if you've got other products such as Operational Decision Manager, which allows you to look at patterns amongst different combinations of events, either whether those are events all coming from PICS or they could be PICS events together with events from other sources. So you could look to see interesting patterns that tell you more insight into what's been happening. That product allows you to do that. You can have events consumed by the IBM Business Monitor, which allows you to produce dashboards and look at that sort of information that's using events to monitor what's happening in the applications or the system. Events from PICS can also be consumed by the Cognos real-time monitoring product. You can send events, I mentioned sending them to as emails using the support pack, but if you use something like IBM's WorkLight, then you could have PICS events be delivered to mobile devices, which is quite a good way of pushing data from the system rather than having mobile devices continually polling for information. And there are other consumers, including PICS. You know, you could use a PICS program to read an event from an MQQ where the events are being emitted. So there are a number of things you can do. And if we move to slide 16, I'm not going to talk through this slide in detail now, but this really shows you there are a set of provided event processing adapters. Those are these sort of orangey-coloured boxes towards the middle right-hand side of the slide, and the different event formats that those event processing adapters allow you to use. So that's all definitional. You don't have to write code to achieve that. Or you do need to write code to have a particular format or a different way of emitting events, then you can use the custom event processing adapter. So that's really a quick answer to the where can I send events. We move on to slide 17. So the next question is around, you know, what are some of the things that people are using PICS events for? So moving on to slide 18, I've really got three slides here in which I've tried to group together some of the different types of uses for events, give you examples of the kinds of things that people are doing. So slide 18 is talking about using events to get more insight and monitor what's happening in the applications and the system. So it's quite easy to use events to populate a dashboard, using the fact that you can just set up event specifications that are going to non-invasively capture events from the applications or the system, and that allows you to create dashboards with products like Business Monitor or Cognos Real-Time Monitoring. And the picture there is a simple dashboard using Business Monitor showing some information about processing of orders. Events are useful input into analytics. So with growing focus on being able to do more analytics, a lot of the information about the data that's running your businesses is within the PICS applications. So being able to emit that data via PICS events to do analytics is something that people are looking at. Another example is around using events to customize promotional offers. So the little, it's perhaps a bit small to see, but the little flow chart picture at the top is showing an example that's based around banking and using events to see how people are using their bank accounts and from that determine who to make offers to, and then via having made the offers, you can also see using events how effective they've been. And then the description of the retail example is the bullet point example on this slide, where a certain retailer has transactions that are processed at their tools are seen in PICS. That allows you to use PICS events from the applications that are running in PICS to understand which purchases people are making, what's selling well, what things would be effective to make offers on, and then again that feedback to see where you've been successful in making those offers. And both of these examples use the operational decision manager to look at the patterns amongst either the processing of the accounts in the bank case or the purchases in the retail case, use that to see how the patterns determine what's happening. So if we move to slide 19, here are some, this is really looking at possibilities around using events to be able to respond to requirements for being compliant to certain legal requirements. One particular example of that that's highlighted here is around the requirements that the banks in Italy were needing to meet, and the law for that was made available in May of 2011, and it required that the banks would action that in December 2013. So it's not a very long cycle time if you were needing to make changes to all of your applications to satisfy those regulations. In this case, what was possible was using KICS events, the banks had been able to capture the information that the regulations required just using events without changing the applications. In some cases, I think some banks have used the signal events to get them additional information, but in other cases, the non-invasive nature. It certainly meant that it's possible to turn around this requirement in a much faster way. And there are other examples where it means that if the regulations change, you can just change the events and not change your application to get the additional information that might be required. If we move to slide 20, the final set of examples, and these are actually around examples using the system events. So again, you can use events to display information on dashboards. Quite a nice example I've given here is it's possible using the file status events to determine that a set of files that you require to have opened at startup time, if any of those aren't opened, you can get event information on a dashboard to highlight that. The other example is an example around fraud checking. Many of the fraud checking examples use application events to see what's happening in the application. But this is actually a nice example based around system events, where the system events can be used to understand, depending on the amount of load on the system, what level of detail to go into on the fraud checking. And this example, it does enable an increase in the amount of fraud checking that is being carried out. So there are a selection of examples of the kinds of things that events can be used for. So if we now move on to the next question. So slide 21, I'm going to hand over to Andy Warmby for that question.
Thanks, Catherine. Yes, hello everyone, this is Andy, and I will deal with the final of the pre-submitted questions, question 5, which is, what are the common gotchas when using KICS events? That is, what are the common problems that you may encounter when you try to use KICS events for the first time? So if we go to slide 22, one of the first problems you may encounter when trying to use events is that you define your capture specs and event bindings, you install them, and you run your application and no events come out. So what are the things to check for when this occurs? The first thing to check is that event processing is turned on in that KICS region. There is no system initialization override to control system to control events, but you can turn event processing off using the CEMT KICS master operator transaction, or even indeed Explorer operational support. So first thing to check is event processing enabled. The next thing to check is that when you installed your event bindings and your adapters, they installed cleanly. So then you can use CMT inquire event bindings and inquire EP adapter to make sure that your event binding and adapter are both installed and enabled. And again, you can use KICS Explorer views to do the same. The next thing you need to consider is that when you define the event, you define a series of predicates to actually reduce the number of events emitted by KICS. And predicates will be on things like contextual information, like the transaction ID and the program that's running at the time. And it can also be on what we call event option predicates. These are the actual options that you specify on particular exec kicks commands. So, for example, if you do a event on exec kicks read file, there is an optional argument of update. So if you defined a capture spec that said I want only event if update is specified, obviously if update is not on the command, you will not get the event. The other type of predicate is application data predicates. And these are predicates where you say things like, I want an event on my link if the COM area I pass to the program contains the characters ABC offset 200. Now, obviously, if the link does pass a COM area and that COM area is not at least 200 bytes long, then we cannot evaluate that predicate. So again, the predicate may fail because the data is just simply not available to evaluate the predicate. And not only do you need to think about the offset, you need to think about the length specified. So check the offset and length fall within the bounds of the data structure that you're testing. And if you want to diagnose why maybe all your predicates are not evaluating, you can actually get a trace out of kicks. And if you use the EC equals all option when requesting the trace, you'll be able to see the evaluation of the predicates and which are failing and which are working. Another thing about predicates is they must all evaluate to true. Basically, the results of all the predicates are logically ANDed together. So if any one of them fails, the event will not be emitted. I go forward to slide 23. Okay, so this is a case where you've got, again, some events missing. But I'm moving on to system and policy events, which have a particular gotcha in that policy and system events do not support all the options on that are available when defining an adapter. Namely, you cannot have transactional events or synchronous events. So what you need to do in that case is check the message user log for those two messages, so DFH EC 10234 and 4, or in the case of policy events, MP 3003 and 3005. Okay. Another thing to check, which catches out a few people, since KICS TS 4.2, it's been possible to define the adapter separate to the event binding. Obviously, this now means that when you define the binding, you need to name the adapter. And what catches a few people out is that that adapter name is case-sensitive. So you may have spelt the adapter name correctly, but if any of the characters are in the wrong case, it will fail to marry the two up. So check the case of the adapter name you specify. Another thing that has caught a few people out is that when testing the TSQs, as Catherine suggested, this is something we suggest you do when you first use KICS, is that in KICS, if you're using KICS TS 4.1, none of the XML formats are supported on 4.1. It was only in 4.2 when we added that support. Unfortunately, if you're using a newer version of Explorer, that will not prevent you from requesting those formats. So you need to check that not only you need to check that the kicks that you target for the capture spec actually supports all the functionality that you're requesting. And also, one thing that has caught a few people out is when trying to browse that resultant TSQ, that the CEBR task, the TSQ is again case sensitive. So make sure you specify in the queue in the right case. Okay, to go report to slide 24. Okay. So this time we're looking at it from the opposite point of view. We've got some events, we've got too many, more than we expected. Now, generally, this means that you've not been precise enough when you define the capture spec. You've not provided enough filters, or the filters have been too generic. One example, as stated on the slide, is that you could, if you're defining an event for, say, read file, say I want to specify a predicate such as on the file name that it starts with AB. Now, obviously, that means that every file in your system whose name starts AB, you'll get an event when the read is performed and all the other predicates are met. So we would suggest that at least with the primary predicate, and this is basically easily identifiable in the Explorer tooling, it's got a little asterisk at the side of it. The primary predicate is always specified with a operator of equals. So file name equals, and then precise file name, or program equals, etc. The next thing to consider is that some KIX modules, some DFH modules, are themselves event-enabled. And over the releases, we've actually opened up more and more KIX modules to be event-enabled because they actually allow us to satisfy some important KIX requirements. In 4.1, we've just event-enabled the KIX sample programs and DFH ECID. This is a program that lies behind the KECI, the CECI transaction that you can use to play around with the exec KIX APIs. And in 4.2, we opened things up to allow you to capture events that emanate from the Atom service modules and from the MQ bridge. And we further opened things up in 5.1 so you can capture events from the Mirror program and another MQ bridge transaction. So obviously you may get some events that you didn't expect because they're emanating from KIX code, and you may need to change your predicates to eliminate them if you don't require them. If we go forward to slide 25. Okay, so we've got some events out, and you take a look at them, and you notice that some of the data that you requested on the event is not there or it's incomplete. And this is usually signified by asterisks in the output where you'd expect the event data. And this signifies to you that the event data that you requested was actually not available at the time of the capture. And one reason for this is that maybe you requested to capture contents of a COM area and there was no COM area on the link or return command at a particular link or return command. So even though the predicates may be satisfied, the data is just not available. So you'll get asterisks in the output, in the event. The other thing to consider to go along with that is that you may have requested data which is just not within the bounds of the COM area or the data area that you're capturing data from. So you need to consider the offset plus the length to make sure that fits within the size of the data area you're capturing data from. Now, what can sometimes catch people is that maybe the COM area passed to their program is a variable length, and then how do they go about capturing all of the COM area? Because they don't know the length at the time they define the event. And there is a special value you can specify. When you specify the capture length, if you set the capture length to zero, that basically means capture everything from that point to the end of the data area. So if your COM area is, say, between 20 and 50 bytes, you could set a capture length of zero, and then you would capture 20 or 50 bytes depending on which of the links the event was triggered on. But be aware, there is a catch with specifying this zero. If you specify it for an exec KIX command which doesn't define a length field for the option that you're specifying the predicate on, so obviously, with a COM area, there's a length field. For a read, there's a length field. There are some commands where there is no length field. So one example is receive map. You can receive map into, but there's no length field on the command to define the length of the into buffer. This means that we're unable at runtime to actually determine the length of the data area. So if you specify zero, then you actually do get zero capture data. But generally, most commands do have a length field. Even if you don't specify it in the source, the translator will add it in for free for you when it translates the code. So we're able to determine the length of the data area at runtime. And the other gotcha is that if you're capturing numeric data, the numeric value may be just too large to format within the defined format length. So if you define a capture item of 3 digits and the number is greater than 999, then obviously we can't fit that into 3 digits. So again, you get asterisks in the output in that case. Go forward to slide 26. Okay, that's the end of the answers for question 5, and I'll return the call to Kathy for now.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is we're going to do the short presentation now. So I will make Andy the presenter so that you could show the demo. Are you ready, Andy?
I'm ready. My fingers crossed. Okay, hopefully things have gone well. Everybody should now see a Kix Explorer panel. Okay. So what follows is a short demonstration of Kix events. I'm going to show you how you can actually use Kix events to react to a new requirement. And for the purposes of this demonstration, I'm going to imagine that the new requirements come in from the auditors to say that they want to see a log of whenever any of the application critical files in the organization are closed. Obviously, if a file is closed, any applications that try to process that file will start to get not open requests and the application will fail. So we're going to imagine we've got that user requirement, and how do we satisfy that without writing too much code or indeed changing any of the applications? Now, obviously, we could satisfy this by writing a global user exit and coding an assembler program, but that requires specialist skills. What I'm mostly going to show you is that with a little bit of programming, in this case, but in an high-level language, and I've been using COBOL, you can actually satisfy this requirement much more easily using Kix events. So what we're going to do to start with, before we can define any Kix events, before we can create the event binding, we need to create a Kix bundle project. So first of all, I'll select the white area and right-click, and then New Project, and select Kix Bundle Project. And we give that a name, so I'll call it EP Demo. And click Finish. And you can now see in the Project Explorer, we now have a new project called EP Demo. So we're ready to start defining some events. So if I highlight EP Demo and right-click, I can now add resources to this bundle. And the resource I'm going to define is a Kix Event Binding. So again, we'll give that a name, EP Demo Binding, and click Finish. And you can see it's added a new resource to that bundle called EP Demo Binding, and it's opened up the Event Binding Editor for me so that I can add some meat onto the bones and define that event binding. Now, event binding is just a way to collect a number of related event specifications. And in this case, I'm just going to define the one event specification. So to do that, I will press add and then give the event specification a name. And the event specification, the name I'm going to use is file monitor, because I'm going to be monitoring the open status of some of my application's critical files. And you could, at this point, give a full-length description of what this event entails. So you got that for future reference. Click OK. Okay, so that's defined my event specification. So I need to, again, flesh that out and detail where and how we're going to capture the events that we require. So if you click on the specification tab at the bottom, the display changes, and we've got some more information to provide. The first thing we need to do is to define those bits of data that we'd like emitted with this event. And at this point, all we're doing is giving names to the pieces of data that are going to be emitted. So in the emitted business information panel, I'm just going to click add, and I'm going to define three bits of information that I would like emitted when this event is captured. And those three bits of information are the user ID of the person who's closing a file. I'm going to add the transaction ID that they're using, and going to request a file name. And as I've done this, you can see that I've done is given a name, but there is extra information you can supply. In this case, all the data is textual, so the type of text is appropriate, but it could be that you're capturing numeric data and you want it formatted as numbers or even in scientific notation, so you can change the the way the data is formatted, if you wish. And also, I've let the length default to automatic. This basically means if the file name is four characters, we'll capture four characters of data and emit four characters of data in the event. It may be that you want all your file names to be eight characters regardless, so you can actually override that and say eight characters, and then if the file name is shorter than eight, Kix will pan it out with spaces up to the eight characters. But I'm going to select automatic, because that's more appropriate for the eventual consumption. I click OK. So at this point, we've given a name to an event, and we've said what data we'd like collected, but we've not said how we're going to collect it. So the next thing to do is to define a capture specification. So you click on the Add Capture Specification button just below, and we give a name to the capture specification. And this capture specification I'm going to call File A, because that's the file that I'm going to monitor closes of, closed. And of course, at this point, you could add multiple event capture specifications for different files. You could add another event for when File A is opened. But for this specific demo, I'm just going to concentrate on the one. So now we need to be more specific about when we capture this event. So if you click on File A, closed, the display changes, and you've now got three more tabs at the top of the screen to guide you through the remainder of the definition. So the first point is to say, what capture point do you want to capture an event at? And you'll see two lists. The list on the left is all the application capture points, and the list on the right are the system event capture points. And for the purposes of this demonstration, I'm going to select the file open status system event. This basically says emit an event whenever the status of a file changes, whether it's open or closed. Okay. Now, obviously, if we left it like that, you would now get an event when any file in the Kix system is either opened or closed. And we just want to monitor closes of file A. So we need to be more specific. And we do that by going to the filtering tab and giving and defining some predicates. Now, I could define predicates based on TRAN ID and user ID, but I'm just going to use the file ID. So I'm going to say file and then file A. So that's saying I only want an event if the file being closed is file A, and I only want the event when the status goes to closed. So now we see we will only get an event when file A is closed. So much fewer events. The next thing to do is to tell Kix how to populate those data fields that we defined earlier with data. And we request, as you remember, I defined three, user ID, TRAN ID, and file name. So we tell Kix how to populate those. So highlight one in each one in turn and press edit. And then you get a drop down, a list of data that's available to this particular type of event. And so we see user ID is available, so I'll populate that field with user ID. Same with transaction ID. And finally, file name. Okay, so now we've defined the event, we've defined our filters, and we've defined to Kix how to populate the event data. But the very final thing we need to do is to tell Kix what to do with the event, where to send it. And that is done by the adapter tab. So down the bottom screen, you see adapter. Now I'm using a Kix Explorer that's shipped with Kix ESA 5.1. If you're using earlier versions, you might not see all the options available on this screen. The ability to define separate adapters was introduced in Kix TS 4.2, and the ability to use adapter sets, which is a collection of adapters, came along in 5.1. But for the demonstration today, I'm going to define the event binding as part of, define the adapter as part of the event binding, so this is what you have to do in 4.1. So what we need to do is say which adapter do we want to send this event to. And for this demonstration, I'm going to use the transaction start adapter. So I'm going to start another transaction in Kix to process the event data. And all I need to do at this point is supply the name of the transaction that I will start, and that is FCLO. And one thing to be careful of here, it's another case where things are case sensitive, so be careful when entering the TRAN ID. So that completes the definition of event binding. So I can close that off. And hopefully, yes, all the red crosses have gone, so Kix has verified that all the necessary data has been specified. Now, obviously, if you define a transaction, you need to define some other resources, and for the interest of time, I've already predefined and pre-installed those resources, but I'll quickly go through what they are. Obviously, I've defined a transaction called FCLO. I've defined a program called FileClose, which is the program that will get invoked to process the event data, and I've defined a library that contains that program. And if we go to the ZOS perspective, I'll actually show you what that program looks like. So if we go into my source library, FileClO, you'll see I've got a very simple COBOL program. So we're not writing assembly now, so we've not all the intricacies of global user exits, we're writing COBOL. So we've got working source section, not very interesting. But then we've got a series of get container commands. Now, the event data that we captured is sent to the event processor, i.e. the start transaction adapter, in Kix containers. Okay? There's a special container called the DFHEP context, CTE context container, and this gives you basic information about the event binding that resulted in the capture. So it gives you the event binding name, the capture spec name. But the one piece of information I need for the purpose of the demonstration is the date and time that the event was captured. So I grab that and move that into my working storage. Then got a series of three get containers, which get the three items of data that I defined. The only thing to be aware of is the number of the container is significant. It is the order in which you define the data. So when I define the three pieces of data, I define user ID first, transaction ID second, and the file name third. So that's where that number 123 comes from on the container name. The next thing that the COBOL program does is simply uses a string verb in COBOL to concatenate that data from the containers with a bit of fixed text to construct a message, which I then write out to a temporary transient data queue called EPAL. Okay? And again, I've predefined that in Kix. And if you go to the Kix SM view, you can see I've got a queue called EPAL, and it goes to an extra partition TD queue called EPA alerts, and quickly go to the ZOS perspective, look at my job to make sure there's no milk and mirrors here. If you look at EP alerts, the log is currently empty. So let's generate some events. So what we need to do is take that binding that we created earlier and export it to ZFS. So we do that by the export. And I'll just copy the bundle directory it's going to. We'll need that shortly. So that's exporting that event binding XML file over to the DFS system on my connected Kix MBS region. So I'll now go to the Kix SM perspective, and we need to define a bundling Kix to install that event binding. So I go to a definitional view, bundle definition, bundle called demo bun in a group called demo bun, and I'll paste that ZFS location, so that tells Kix where to find the event binding definition. If it's finished there, close that off, and you see we've now got a bundle called demo bun, which can then install into Kix. Okay, so that's installed, but going back to the gotchas, let's make sure everything's good to go. So we go to the event processing, and we see that it's started. Go to the event bindings view, refresh, and you can see we've got event binding and it's enabled, so that's good to go. And refresh the adapters, and you see we've got an adapter, transaction start adapter, and that's enabled and good to go. So, all things being equal, if I now go to the files view and close my file, file A, we should get an event out and a message in that EP alerts destination. I'll do that and keep everything crossed. And if I now go to the ZLS perspective and open up the EP alerts, you can see we've generated an event when that file was closed. So hopefully you can see from that very short demonstration how easy it is to change a Kix system to satisfy that new requirement to produce an audit log without having to go into writing global user exits in assembler or doing screen scraping. So I'll now hand the conference back to Cassie.
Well, thank you, Chris Wang, Catherine, and Mandy, for a great presentation. You did a great job answering our pre-submitted questions. Now we're going to move on to the live question and answer session. There is a question in the web conference, so we will go to that one. This first one came from Jeffrey. How heavy is CEP? In other words, how many MIPS consumed does CEP add to an existing CICS transaction if I fire a single event only at the completion of a single program?
Okay. So many thanks for the question, Jeffrey. I'll try to answer that for you. The first thing to say is that when we talk about events being non-invasive, part of our design point was that that should be not only not needing you to change the application, but that the impact to the application and to your system should be very minimal. So we have a lot of measurements we've made to verify that that is the case. We believe that the overhead of doing event processing is very low. Obviously, that it would be, I can't give you a sort of a specific answer for your specific case with your question, but I can give you sort of one or a few data points, which is if we take the example that you've got an application event, and let's suppose that this is an event that you're going to emit to a Webster MQ queue, and you carry out, you've actually got 100 sort of filters to determine whether this is the right event to capture, which is, I think, rather more than you would normally go for. But the reason I sort of enumerate those various parts of a possible event is that we've made some measurements. The numbers I'm going to quote were actually obtained with a V196. And obviously, to be exact about the details, I would probably need to tell you exactly which model and other information about the situation. But essentially, what we find out is that the overhead of capturing and emitting that example event works out to a total influx of 69 microseconds, with an additional 4 microseconds within MQ itself for emitting the event. And what that's made up of is a proportion of that is the overhead of capturing the data and writing it out to MQ, and then a proportion of it is the overhead of checking the various filter operations within the event. The filter checking is actually very low overhead. Each one works out at about 0.01 of a microsecond, so we're talking about very small numbers. And then the large component is, if this is indeed the event you want to capture, you've got to capture the data, and if you choose MQ, you've got to write it to MQ. If you choose to start a transaction, you've got a slightly different number. But hopefully that gives you just a taste, but I think we can say, you know, that there is, it is not heavy to do fixed event processing. It's really quite low overhead. Follow up, there are some resources. We've got links for resources at the end of the presentation, which give you some links to additional materials, such as a red book that gives a bit of detail on that. But we could also supply, if you care to email me at catherine_moxie@uk.ibm.com, I could give you some of the sort of data that I've just quoted a taster from for you. So hopefully that addresses that question, Kathy.
And then for question number 7, we have from the web conference, is the CICS Explorer required to set up event processing for an application? If so, are there plans to relax this requirement?
So you do need the event binding editor, which Andy was showing in the demo, to create the event specifications, and that's available. That's part of the TIX Explorer, and as a lot of the Explorer function is comes with Rational Developer System Z, it's also part of RDZ. But that really is the way of, you know, creating those event specifications in the non-programmatic way. So it is the intended way of doing it, and we don't have plans to change that. The Explorer is available Something you can download for use with CICS, so it's not a an additional product you need to purchase. What it generates is an XML file, so it would conceivably be possible to hand write an XML file that is an event binding that you could then deploy to ZFS in the way that Andy did, just with neat, easy keystrokes on the Explorer. But that's not what we recommend, because the Explorer does the checking. You saw the little red boxes that appeared that got cleared as Andy processed the additional information that the event specification needed. So using the Explorer, it does all the validation for you of your event that it should be good to go when you deploy it into Kix. So I guess I think the answer is that you do use Kix Explorer, or at least the event binding editor in the Explorer, and we don't have plans to change that as the way you do it. Hopefully that you'll be able to get familiar with the Explorer. I think some of the work we've done on the Explorer in recent Kix releases mean I think there may have been in the past reasons why it might be hard for people to adopt and roll out Explorer, and hopefully those potential inhibitors are being removed. So hopefully it's not going to be an issue that that's the way you most effectively do the event processing. Okay, thanks Cathy. Hopefully that again is an answer to that question.
And we have no more questions in the web conference at this point. Or actually, one more came in, I believe. It came from the same person that submitted the question, so I'll say it here. Unfortunately, the Explorer is required. It is a non-starter for us as it requires FTP to JAS, J-E-S.
So that perhaps is something we need to understand in a bit more detail, the FTP aspect. The COS Explorer does use FTP for some of the things that it does. It can also use DOSMS. What Andy showed was the exporting the event binding that uses FTP, but there are alternative ways of getting the event binding to ZFS. That may require a bit of follow-up, but hopefully there are, as I said, some of the sort of inhibitors for Explorer are getting removed all the time, so hopefully that's not going to make things a non-starter.
Does anyone on the team see a new question in the web conference that I missed?
No.
Well, actually, Jeffrey's come back with a comment on the way in which they've used event processing, and certainly, the pieces that Andy did around defining some of his resources and deploying the event, he did those using the Explorer. That's our preferred way of showing that you can do things with the Explorer, but as Jeff was saying, most of that actually you can do using the CEDA and CEMT with the green screen. So those parts of it are not requiring Explorer as such. So thanks for that comment, Jeffrey.
Let me see. There's some more comments coming into the web conference, but I don't see them as questions. Is there anything we need to address in the web conference?
So they mostly look to be follow-ups along around that question relating to Explorer.
All right. So there are no new questions in the web conference at this time. I'd like to go to slide 29 and hand it back over to Catherine to do the summary.
Great. Thanks very much, Cathy. So really, we've talked about how you can use events to unlock information that you have within the applications and the system. And you can do that without changing applications, and I've said in minimal overhead to the system. I think, as we've been discussing, really it's negligible overhead, and you can get useful value just using Kix, but if you have other products you can get additional capability and you can have events that are application events, system events, and threshold policy events, and use those for a variety of purposes. So I've finished with a little screenshot from the Kix Explorer to encourage everyone who hasn't yet used events to start doing so, and hopefully for those who are already doing so, be able to use some of those examples to think of more ways in which you could get value. So if we move to slide 30, on slide 30, these are some resources to get more information about event processing in general, and in particular about event processing in Kix. So I'd particularly point out the new and updated Red Book. There's a screenshot there showing the cover of the event processing with Kix Red Book. We updated that. It was initially available with the first event support in Kix 4.1, and at 5.1 we updated it, so it now covers the system events, talks about threshold policy events, talks about some things we didn't even get time to get onto today, such as synchronous event emission. So there are a number of resources to get further information. And the final slide, 31, are some additional web service resources around the Web Service Support Technical Exchange webcast, to get recordings of previous sessions. I think it just remains for me to thank everyone very much for joining the call, for your questions. Please do get in touch if you have further questions subsequent to the webcast. Finally, I'll hand it back to you, Kathy, to close out.
Okay, thank you, Catherine, for a great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you, and we appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for a future presentation, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. And a sincere thank you to the panel. You did an awesome job. Thank you, Chris, Wang, Catherine, and Andy. Have a great day.